right?
It's Mark Snyder.
Oh, I have it written down, Mike. I'm sorry. Okay, I had it written down at 10. What? Maybe we get mixed up on time. Where are you, Eastern time or
we
what?
We are, yeah.
Okay.
You all set?
Yeah, that's fine. This is fine, okay. Mark. This is fine right now.
Talking with Marv Levy.
I was going to come in at 10 o'clock my time here in Chicago.
No, we're talking with Marv Levy, of course, the Hall of Fame coach from the Buffalo Bills, and it's football season. It's a great time to talk to him, especially since he has a great book out. It's called Where Else Would You Rather Be? And I know where I'd rather be. Somewhere warm, that's where I'd like to be, rather than here in Boston where it's cold and yucky outside. Well, anyway, welcome to the program, Marv.
Well, thank you, Mark. And I don't know about being somewhere else. I know the weather, but I'd like to be right there where the games are taking place.
What do you think? Indianapolis against the Patriots this weekend. What do you think?
Well, Indianapolis, of course, I don't have to tell good football fans how potent an offense they have, and probably a better defense than people realize, because they're getting a lot of takeaways and they're sacking the quarterback a lot. But outdoors, at home, the Patriots being so well, I think the Patriots have a leg up, certainly not an assurance. It's the game of the week in my mind, and I'll be looking at it with great interest.
What do you think the effect is of losing guys like Ty Law and Poole, the two starting corners for the Patriots defense?
Well, certainly you want your starters in the game, but in the NFL today, the secret is not avoiding injuries. They're going to happen. The secret is overcoming injuries, and that's what you have to do. And again, the game being played outdoors in the weather conditions that exist there, I think that's a factor which tends to help the Patriots in the game, but there are no assurances, of course.
Yeah, when I think of your career, I also think of Don Shula, who also had a magnificent career as well. What do you think about the coaches that are out there now? I mean, we look at Bill Belichick because he's right here in our backyard. Seems to me like he's on his way to the same place you were.
Well, they've done a remarkable job there. The entire organization has worked so well, starting right with owner Bob Kraft, Brad Scioli, and all of them. Bill's had a great staff. He's done a great job of knitting it all together. You're in the playoffs now, and there are a lot of good coaches involved. Bill Cowher and Tony Dungy and his group. What a great staff Tony has functioning for him. But certainly it has been a very admirable performance by Bill and the people with whom he works.
I find your career very interesting. I didn't really know much about it until I read about it, but I knew you were born in Chicago, where you still live, and you went to college in Iowa. But I understand you actually went to Harvard as well, right?
That's right, Mark. I went to graduate school. Actually, I entered law school at Harvard way back in 1951. But by that time, my heart wanted to be out on the playing field. I played as an undergraduate football, basketball, and varsity track, all three. And about 3 weeks into law school, I said, no, I know I want to coach. My college coach had said I'd have a job if I ever wanted one. So I transferred over to the Graduate School of Arts and Sciences, which didn't begin in those days until about a month after school began, and did get my degree there at Harvard. It was a magnificent experience in that city and on that storied campus.
What did your parents think when you kind of forsaken the academic life and maybe a law school career for football? What was their reaction?
That was one of the most apprehensive, on my part, phone calls I ever made to inform my parents, and they took it magnificently. I write about that in the book we've talked about earlier. My dad, he was a combat veteran, Marine Corps, First World War, had been a fine athlete himself. It was picked as the outstanding prep athlete in Chicago way back when he was a prep school athlete here, and he hesitated for a moment. There was a silence, and finally he said, be a good one. So it felt like it was somebody that was saying, go forth, young man.
Yeah. You look at way back at the first coaching job you had as an assistant at Coe College, and all the places you were there since then, before even making it to the NFL and going to the Canadian Football League and back to the NFL. Were there times at that point you said to yourself, you know, when you were moving around, maybe this is not for me, maybe I should get back into law, maybe I should do something else, or did you always say, I'm sticking with this and that's it?
Well, for the most part, yes, Mark, that's what I did. I said I want to stay with it. There was one time I was the head coach of the University of California, unbending entrance requirements at that time. There was no affirmative action. We had a staff you couldn't believe. On my staff were Bill Walsh, Dick Vermeil, Mike White, and several. Dick Stanfeller later was a great line coach in the NFL, and we couldn't win. And so I got fired. And for about 2 weeks, I said, maybe I ought to go into something else. And then, no, it seeped back into me. I had an offer to go to the College of William & Mary. What an experience. I did. I recount all of these incidents and the feelings that existed in my book, Where Else Would You Rather Be? And the genesis of that title is something, the first time I was a head coach, and as the youngest major college head coach in the country, our players gathered around us for the first game, Mark, and as they stood there, I just blurted out to them, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? And that's the sentiment I've always had about coaching. Never regretted it for a second, even during some of those devastating losses that we had to suffer.
You know, it's interesting, listening to your voice, you sound like a broadcaster, and I know at one point between coaching jobs, you actually did that.
Well, I did. I was a lot smarter in the booth, by the way, than I was on the sideline. Even now, living in Chicago, I do some Bears pregame radio with a couple of former Bears players, and then a Bears postgame television show. They're local in Chicago with a different group of former Bears players, and it's fun.
You mentioned the College of William & Mary. Right after that, you had your NFL coaching job, the first one as a special teams coach for the Eagles. Was there any trepidation for you in terms of leaving college and going to the pros as an assistant? Did you think, maybe, I don't know, do I want to do this? You know, was there
well,
any?
You always give consideration, of course, Mark, but I'd been at William & Mary. We'd had some fine seasons with the greatest group of overachievers you could ever imagine. Again, a school with extremely high academic requirements. At that time, they were Division I. We were playing schedules like Boston College, Syracuse, Penn State, North Carolina, and we believe it or not, when we played at our own level, we were doing pretty well, but we were having 6-4 seasons and so on. I said, well, maybe I'm looking for something more exciting. I called to congratulate Jerry Williams, a friend of mine who had just taken the job as a Philadelphia Eagles coach, and he said, Marv, I'd like you on my staff, and boy, it just clicked, so I made the move.
What was it like coaching special teams? Was that something that interested you at the beginning, or were you always more into offense, defense? What was always your thing that you really enjoyed the most?
Well, way back when I started coaching, you had to coach it all. But unfortunately, I realized what a neglected area of the game the kicking teams were. So I had always been a strong advocate of the kicking game. And when Jerry Williams offered me the job, I became the first full-time special teams coach in the NFL, me in Philadelphia, and at the same time, Dick Vermeil in Los Angeles. We shared being that first year. But, no, it intrigued me. And you know something? The special teams coach, he's a coordinator. He coordinates one-third of the game. And you stop and think about a number of coaches, head coaches in the NFL, who were special teams coaches beside myself, Marty Schottenheimer, Bill Cowher, Mike Ditka, to name a few, who moved on from their special teams assignments to become head coaches.
Well, it's interesting when you look at winning teams. I mean, obviously, the Patriots are close by to us, and Adam Vinatieri's leg has won many games here.
Yes, and the world knows it. He's done a tremendous job. Kicking game goes far beyond the kickers, of course. It goes into coverage and
sure.
Returns and the ability to block kicks and some of the details of the special things like onside kick and defending against it. It encompasses all of those items.
It's a huge thing, and it is very important, and it's interesting to note that many players become established by playing on special teams and make a name for themselves.
Well, they certainly do, and we had one who's unquestionably the greatest special teams player in the history of the game, and Steve Tasker. He belongs in the Hall of Fame, and I look forward to him being there. If kicking game is one-third importance, as many coaches say, there's never been another kicking games player that comes close to what Steve was. Not a big guy. He had speed, but not blazing. And yet, what a mag. He did so many things that help us win games.
You know, you talked about the Hall of Fame a second ago. In August of 2001, when you were awarded that honor in your first year of eligibility, what was your reaction? How'd you feel when you were there?
Well, I have to tell you, Mark, if you're not excited about going into the Hall of Fame, you don't belong in there. There's a sense of awe. There's a sense of, am I really here? And, you know, that was really driven home to me that day when you get your 5 or 10 minutes at the podium to accept. And as I stood there and looked out, there were guys out there who had been inducted 30 and 35 years ago, legendary names in the league, and you could still see the glow on their face that was almost saying, am I really here? Am I really here? It was a tremendously exhilarating moment, I have to admit that.
One of the things that you will, unfortunately, in some methods, go out in history for is the 4 straight Super Bowls all on the losing end. It must have been pretty painful.
Absolutely. Mark, you know, 32 teams start, they fight like you can't believe to finally be one of the 12 that go into the playoffs. Of those 12, 11 finish with a loss, and none is more devastating, of course, than what you experience when you finally get to the premier game and you don't come away successfully. You lose the game. It's almost a feeling of desolation. But, yes, I wish we would have won all 4 of them, or 3 of them, or 1 of them. We didn't, but what are you going to do? You're going to lie there in the fetal position and agonize forever? Then you're a loser. There is a period where you mourn, whether it's 10 days or 2 weeks. Then you own up. What could we? What should we have done better? Then, and very important, you recognize the good. Look at this group of men around me. How resilient are they going to be? How resilient am I going to be? Then you make a plan. You don't just automatically go back the next year. You have to work to get there, and then you go to work on it. We didn't win any of them. I would like to have. We didn't. I'm not going to agonize over it now. I'm going to remember the good.
Well, the way I look at it is this, and when people have said that in the past, when I've heard people talking about it, my reaction is to say, listen, you know, Marv Levy brought his team to the Super Bowl 4 times. You won the AFC Division Championship 4 years in a row, and that's an amazing achievement.
Well, I thank you for that, and if this was our total organization that did it, starting with our owner, a wonderful man, Ralph Wilson, great administrators, and Bill Polian and John Butler. I had an unbelievable staff, and we had players on our team with unbelievable character, and we wouldn't bring a guy on who didn't have high character qualities. There were a variety of personalities. We didn't pick them by personality, but the character qualities were great, and we had magnificent fans who supported us as well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I write about that in the book, our fans and the approach to it. And in the book, if I might take a brief aside, Mark, there's a lot more than just touchdowns and interceptions. I hope there's some humor and some pathos in there. It's a book I wrote all by myself, no collaborator, no ghostwriter. It was a thrill and a joy for me to write. I hope it will be as exciting for people to read. It's been doing very well. It's number 11 on the New York Times bestseller list for nonfiction right now, and really the stores are, you can maybe get it in the stores, but if not, you can get it on Amazon.com, and I know I digressed and put in a little plug, but I felt compelled to do it.
Well, I actually would agree with you, and in fact, I think your personality comes through, and also your leadership abilities. You are one of these kind of people who can motivate people, and it's a motivational book as well.
Well, I think that's in there, too, and I almost define, I think I do, there's a section where I define what I believe leadership is. It's the ability to get other people to get the best out of themselves. And you don't do it by kicking butt, pardon the language. Yeah. You do it by not to get them to follow you, but by getting them to join you and believe in what you're doing. And there are some pretty good indications that that's happening right there with the Patriots in New England.
How do you ever miss the coaching? Do you ever say to yourself, maybe I should make one more comeback?
Well, you know, when I retired at the time, I said, I'm going to miss this. There's a lot I'm going to miss. I'm going to do some things I've missed doing. But I am refreshed right now and invigorated. And if the right opportunity to be a head coach again in the National Football League were there, I certainly would entertain it with extreme seriousness, probably do it.
What I want to know a little bit about your family. Do you have children?
I have one daughter. She lives here in Chicago. And that's it. She's just finished law school, not just finished, but a couple years ago. And other than that, my wife and I, native Chicagoans, are back here and enjoying living here.
It's interesting that you went into law because that's what you were intending to do as well.
That's true. I didn't steer her that way. That was her decision.
Yeah, well, it was either that or coach football, and maybe the law thing would be a better choice for her.
I beg your pardon?
I said it was either that or go and follow you in football. Probably the law was probably a better choice.
Yeah, that's right. She's a football coach, too. She offered me a lot of advice.
So you're going to be glued to the sets this week, too. What do you think about the Pittsburgh game?
Pittsburgh, well, everybody is picking Pittsburgh, and well, they should. They're rested. Their record is the best in the league. They're coming in against a team that struggled late but had a magnificent win the other day. Don't count anybody out. You know, anybody picking is going to say Pittsburgh ought to win, but I'm not going to be bowled over stunned if the Jets were to pull off an upset.
Mm. Who do you think is going to win the title, the Super Bowl this year?
Well, picking the winner, Mark, is easy. Being right, that's the hard part.
Well, we can all. I like to pick, so pick one out for me.
All right. Once again, I like positioning of New England going against Philadelphia and probably the Patriots winning it.
That would be nice. I think we would like that. I think that Philadelphia has a lot of weaknesses this year, actually, from the beginning.
Well, the loss of Owens certainly
exactly.
hurts, too.
That's huge. But again, you know, the Patriots, they're going to be missing two of the key players, but you think Belichick will come up with some kind of a realignment of the defense that'll be effective, hopefully?
Oh, you know, the X's and O's don't mean a darn thing. All coaches are good with those X's and O's. It's the team that runs, throws, blocks, tackle, catch, kicks best that wins the game, Mark. It's glamorous to talk about strategy and adjustments and all of that stuff, but every coach sparkles in that department, including Bill.
And, of course, it's the team that makes the least mistakes that usually does win.
You got it. Hey, you're taking stuff right off my bulletin board right now.
And MarvLevy.net is Marv's site, by the way. So don't go to that .com site. It takes you nowhere. So MarvLevy.net if you'd like to visit. And also, get the book. It's called Where Else Would You Rather Be? And it's available at all bookstores. And, again, I did see it on Amazon.com, and it's actually priced pretty well, too. So check
it
out.
Thank you.
Marv, thanks so much.
Mark, it's been my pleasure. Thank you. Pleasure to talk with you.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.